Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Sarah Fenske. Like St. Louis City, St. Louis County officially reopens for business today. That doesn't mean everyone is back to work. Far from it. Many businesses remain closed, and others that reopen are doing so under new restrictions. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page has called it, quote, our new normal. And here with me today to talk about that new normal and to take your questions is County Executive Sam Page. Dr. Page, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
So St. Louis County reopened this morning, and this is under the plan you released a couple weeks ago. What led you to believe that now is the right time for that?
Well, we believe we've met our milestones, which is a 14-day or greater than 14-day reduction of cases based on hospital admissions, which is what we track very closely through the Pandemic Task Force and Dr. Garza's reports. We do believe that we are getting an adequate testing footprint, not just in the tests St. Louis County has, but those tests performed by our federally qualified health centers, our hospital systems and private labs and urgent care settings. So we're getting to the point now where we can test everyone who's symptomatic, and we can begin asymptomatic testing in high-risk populations, and that's where we need to be.
So if you're listening to this conversation, we do want to hear from you. Do you support the county's decision to begin reopening? Or do you have a question for Dr. Sam Page about how all this is going to work? You can give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at STL on air or email us at talk@stlpublicradio.org. And Dr. Page, as I'm sure you're not surprised to hear, we've already heard from some people on Twitter. People have a lot of opinions about this. People also have a lot of questions about it. But before we dig into some of those, I do want to ask you one question about the rollout. St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson was on this show the day that St. Louis County released its plan, and the city had not yet released its plan at that point. And I asked her how you guys ended up getting ahead of them on that. And here's what she had to say about that.
We are. We actually, it's kind of interesting because we've been speaking with the county daily almost, and we thought that we were going to be issuing these at the same time, but I know, you know, we all have our own pressures, and so the county executive went ahead and did his this morning at 8:30.
And that was St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson. Sorry, I'm a little tongue-tied here. You guys had been walking in the same steps on all of the stuff. It was all coming through a regional task force. What happened with the rollout where you guys were on a different page?
Well, I think we're actually on the same page. Maybe timing was off a little bit. Perhaps we had a communication breakdown. We did have one difference that was remaining, I believe, was how we're going to manage bars. And they're going to have a different approach in the city, and I think that's fine. But for the most part, I think we're pretty close. We continue to work closely together, and we continue to make our announcements in pretty close timing. And we're both depending on guidance from the Pandemic Task Force, and that's a great resource.
So there was no underlying political reason there. She said something about how we all have our own pressures. Were you sort of being
pressured?
Well,
I think anytime when you see something that you don't understand, sometimes there's a tendency to think it might be political. I don't think that's what she was saying. She's under a great deal of pressure, as we all are. If you read the newspaper or look out in the community, there are folks on both sides who think we're opening too soon without the right criteria, and there's folks that believe we should have opened a couple of weeks ago or really never closed in the first place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're subject to pressures from all angles, all reasons, and we have to find the path forward that's right for the community, that protects the health and welfare of everyone, and that's really our top goal.
Now, you mentioned it seems like the biggest difference between the city regulations and the county regulations is bars, and specifically bars that don't serve food. The city is letting them open their doors, and they do have some distancing requirements for them. At this point, the county is not. Why is that?
So we have a licensing requirement, and that definition, we don't ask folks if they serve food or not. That's just how the licenses are managed, and that's what my public health director explained to me, that I'm following the guidance of my public health director, and she thought in St. Louis County that the distancing requirements would be difficult, and we've looked at the guidelines across the country, and we decided to manage it a little more differently. I think if you look at what St. Louis City is doing and what St. Louis County is doing, you'll have to look really hard to find a difference. And this is one of them, and a lot of people are focused on that. But really, for all intents and purposes, our closing instructions have been pretty tight. The way we've managed this, the way we have communicated on our humanitarian response, the way we communicate and cooperate on the public health side, and the business guidelines were developed in cooperation with each other. So I think we're pretty close.
Okay. And of course, as journalists, you know, it's our job to focus on here's the one area out of 100 areas. We're going to find the one that's different and hone in on that. I mean, that's a fair point. Otherwise, these regulations are largely the same. Are you feeling some pressure from bar owners who are in this particular category of licenses where they're not able to open at this point? Are they hoping to see you revisit that?
Well, I hear from people every day. Hear from people who don't think we should open at all.
Mm-hmm.
Hear from people who are sincere and believe they could manage reasonable social distancing, and folks that believe we should have never closed in the first place. So sure, there's comments and advocacy from all corners, and we manage that. We listen to it thoughtfully. We process their input. In the end, we work it through our public health department, because we're going to follow the guidelines of our medical community, our pandemic task force, our public health officials, our doctors and scientists, and they're going to help us move the right path forward. And if you look and see at our reopening schedule and what's happening around the country, really everybody's pretty much on the same process.
Mm-hmm. We got an email. This is from Sue Stevenson, and she had a pretty specific question where I think she was feeling some confusion about regulations that affect churches. Here's what she writes. Should St. Louis County churches be following the attendance limitations based on the percent of square footage of building or following the group gathering maximum? These numbers are very different. The number of people per percent capacity of the building is normally greater than the allowed group size. For example, she writes, phase one, 10% of capacity of building or a group of less than 50. Phase two, 25% of capacity of building or a group of less than 100. Any guidance for Sue on that very specific point related to churches?
No, I think the churches should follow the guidance from our website at sclcorona.com. And if they have specific questions, they can contact our health department. But I think the percent occupancy is the better. But most important in churches is social distancing, 6 feet apart, and wearing a mask. Even wearing a mask in church is very important. And some of the churches have adopted their own guidelines and follow those themselves. But speaking of churches, I think we should all recognize that most churches I'm hearing from really aren't interested in opening until the middle of June.
Mm-hmm.
And no one that really absolutely has to be open because of financial pressures or economic pressures, no one is really in a hurry. Our large employers, for the most part, who can work from home, will continue to work from home at least until the middle of June. We expect to see that, and I would expect the churches to do the same, but most churches I'm hearing from really aren't going to be in a hurry to be open. They're gonna continue their video conferencing services and limit their sizes, because even after we open and we allow more social mixing, individuals that are older, who have chronic medical problems, really should think hard about whether or not they want to be out in a crowd.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent point there. And so, Sue, if you're listening to this, it sounds like Dr. Page is saying the percent occupancy is the best thing to follow, but that you can find more information on the county's website devoted to all this. That's stlcorona.com. I want to go to the phone lines. Jill is calling from Kirkwood. Hi, Jill. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, good morning. My question is to Dr. Page, for people who are able to winter away from St. Louis and who are returning now from Florida, for example, should they quarantine themselves for 14 days when they get back home to St. Louis?
Hmm. That's a good question.
Yes, the travel advisories are still there for anyone returning from out of town. And Missouri's one of the states, if someone travels from Missouri somewhere else, actually they would be asked to quarantine when they arrive.
Hmm.
And people arriving to Missouri from out-of-town travel should quarantine as well. That's a safe thing to do, and that's our public health guidance.
Okay, so you are asking that for people who are coming back to the St. Louis area after being out of state.
Yes.
Okay. And Jill, does that apply to you, or are you wondering in terms of some friends or family members?
friends or family members.
Okay. Well, now you can tell them. You heard it right from the county executive.
I've stayed here and taught remotely the whole time.
Okay. Good for you. Well, please stay safe there and tell your friends and family members they need to follow the rules. Thanks for that call, Jill. And if you're listening and you have a call for Dr. Sam Page, you can give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at STL on air. You can also email us at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Dr. Page, Matt has a question from Twitter. He says, reopening while the virus is still in the community is going to drive up cases and then deaths. Is there a number of dead that would make you close back up, or is it more related to ICU capacity? I know you mentioned hospitalizations earlier in terms of looking at the outlook and whether we would need to close back up again, God forbid. What would be the metric driving that for you?
So we'll take our guidance from the Pandemic Task Force and Dr. Garza's reports, but what we'll watch most closely will be hospital admissions. Certainly the loss of life in St. Louis County has been tragic. We've had 335 of our residents who have died from COVID-19, and it's terrible. And that's one of the reasons why we're so cautious and gradual and measured in our reopening. We want to do this safely, and we want to make sure we do it in a way where we could also have more economic activity, because we know that we have to manage the virus as it spreads through our community in a responsible way. And we believe we have that ability now with increased testing and contact tracing. But the metric we will use for a decision about whether or not to tighten up social mixing restrictions will be hospital admissions, and we'll watch that trend. And we'll also be watching our testing and we know we're going to have more positive tests. We're going to have more COVID-19 in our community because we're going to be testing a lot more. Mm-hmm. But we'll be watching that positive to negative ratio as well.
Okay. We're talking to St. Louis County Executive Sam Page. We do need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly with him to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. That's 90.7.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
7KWMU. And now back to our conversation. We're talking to Dr. Sam Page, who's the St. Louis County Executive. And Dr. Page, I want to ask you about a story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today. Jeremy Kohler was writing about the city's preparedness when it comes to contract tracers, and he writes that the city is ill-equipped to hire enough. He says while the county is in the process of hiring 100 contact tracers, the city has just 10 to 13. Quote, that reflects in part the disparity in resources available to the two governments. The county, because of its size, was able to get some $173 million in direct aid from the federal government. The city is getting just $35 million in assistance through the states. And people are raising some concern about this, the fact that the city might not be able to trace the people who come down with this illness and that could cause problems around the region. You told Kohler you had no intention of sharing those funds with the city for that. Why not?
Well, I don't think that's exactly what I said. It's certainly not what I meant. We have limitations under federal law on the funds that we accepted that were direct to St. Louis County to spend them in St. Louis County. But it doesn't mean we can't become involved in joint resources, joint projects like our public health department and our humanitarian response, which we've done. And, you know, once you get into those joint programs, you really can't delineate. Mm-hmm. But we've always been in a partnership with St. Louis City on many aspects of public health, and we do follow up on contacts that they recognize that are St. Louis County residents, and they send them to us, and our health department manages them. But as far as their contact tracing program, I'm really not familiar with it. I do remember Jeremy bringing it up, but they have a different program, they have a different approach, and it's really not. It's really not my position to say it's the wrong way. I know how we're doing it. It's a model that we use. It's a model that we think works. Mm-hmm. And we'll be glad to work with St. Louis City as much as possible. As far as a direct payment to them, I don't know that we could do that, but we certainly have the ability to contract to provide services, and we do provide many services to other jurisdictions under memorandums of understanding. And we would continue to do that if that was a request. And I think it'd be a fine idea. But I think that we have to let St. Louis City manage their contacts in a way that they think works and work with them as much as we're allowed to do. And I think that's fine. We do that on a lot of issues. I don't think contact tracing folks are that expensive to hire for short term or even long term. It's not millions of dollars. It's a few hundred thousand dollars or maybe a million or two, but we'd certainly be willing to work with them if that was the plan.
Okay, so if they asked for help, it sounds like you would be open to that. It's more that at this point, they're not asking for that help. Is that fair to say?
Well, I would say that they have asked for help in partnership. I mean, they help us and we help them in a lot of different ways and a lot of different projects. And our health departments have worked well in the past and work well across the board on many fronts and will continue to do so. But if we already work together on contact tracing, they already send cases out to us that are St. Louis County residents, and we manage them. And some of them they manage on their own through their system. But we will continue to work with them cooperatively. I think the focus on I think they do have an inequity issue. I do think that they need more funds to respond to this, and they should have more funds to respond to this, not only because they have more cases of COVID-19 in St. Louis City per capita than other parts of the state, mainly because they're an urban area, and urban areas are going to be hit harder because of density. And they certainly, this is one way to make an argument for more funds, which I think is an argument that they've artfully made and articulated, and it's important. But I don't think that the funds they've received so far are buried to contact tracing. I think it's just a different approach and a different style.
Okay. I want to go to the phone lines. We have a number of people waiting to talk to you. I'm going to go to Janice calling from St. Louis. Janice, hi, you're on St. Louis on the air.
Hi there.
Thank you for joining us. What is your question, or what were you hoping to talk to Dr. Page about?
Well, my question is, I work as a massage therapist in Richmond Heights. I actually live in the city, and I'm almost 60, and I question massage therapy opening at this time because of it being impossible to socially distance. And there's no way you can when you're doing a massage. And also, I mean, we do couples massage where I work, which means four people will be in the same room for an hour. So I wonder what his thoughts are about that.
Yeah, and Janice, is your employer reopening at this point?
June 1st.
June 1st. Okay. Dr. Page, that's a good question from Janice there.
Well, I would just ask that you contact our health department. We might be able to provide guidance for you or your employer. But there should be social distancing guidelines adopted in your place of work that would be safe. And that's one of the requirements to open the social distancing guidelines that we think work. And your special situation where you believe you're higher risk, I think that's a conversation you have with your employer and ask for accommodations to be able to limit your risk either with protective equipment or with your assigned duties. It's a difficult question. I have a lot of people, you know, we hear a lot in the news about folks that are upset about us opening. But I also hear from employees who aren't quite ready to go back to work, aren't comfortable with what's going to happen or what is going to happen in the way of social distancing is unknown and uncertain. And that creates some anxiety. And those issues have to be worked out.
Janice, is your employer open to talking to you about some of these concerns, or has that been tough to get their attention on that front?
No, she is, and she has been provided with personal protective equipment. I don't know who provided that. She said the government had. So we're actually having a meeting tonight over Zoom to talk about reopening. My concern is, I mean, my understanding is that to be high risk, you're 60 years old and older, and, you know, with Missouri's unemployment being what it is, not that, you know, I would get much from Missouri. I still haven't gotten unemployment, even though I've applied for it, but I am concerned about, you know, I'd prefer to wait another month to go back, you know, just to kind of see how things shake out with the incidence of COVID potentially rising, especially with, you know, I mean, it would be nice to go back to work. I miss working, but, you know, even with the guidelines, I've read them and they vary, but, you know, it's just about impossible to give somebody an hour massage. You can wear a mask and you can wear a shield, which I think we have shields, but still.
Yeah, Janice, that's a great point. I mean, massage is one of those things, and especially she's talking about couples massage. Dr. Page, that seems like that could be a real problem. You've got two masseuses and two people in a very small area. Social distancing rules might make a couples massage an impossibility right now.
Well, I think we'd have to look and see what the guidelines are from the health department And I'm sure they have a plan that would make this safe and responsible. But I'm not, you know, I'm not familiar with the details of those. But I would ask people to look at the website. And sometimes when you're doing something you haven't done before, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknowns. But I think when folks see the answers, and I think we'll also see that employers will be reasonable with employees who aren't ready to come back to work. I don't think a lot of these businesses coming back from this time off are going to be real busy, real fast. So they'll be able to make some choices about who's ready to come back and who's not. And hopefully that unemployment insurance will be there for a little bit. Again, not replacing lost income, but helping out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Janice, thank you for that call. Going back to the phone lines, Tom, hi, you are on St. Louis on the Air.
Yes, thank you. Dr. Page, there are two questions I have about this normalization that we're getting into. One is, do we really think that people are going to maintain social distancing guidelines and the other recommendations? Look at what we've seen over the last month or two. So many people flaunting the recommendations and the guidelines. I don't think it's realistic, and I wonder what you think as a physician. Secondly, this 6-foot social distancing recommendation, I've studied the methods of transition of COVID-19, and from good sources, I believe, you know, academic and medical sources, and what I understand about the way this is transmitted, 6 feet isn't enough. If a bunch of people get in a place and breathe and talk and sneeze and cough, they're going to spread the disease. Do you think this is a reasonable expectations, what I'm saying as a physician?
Tom, that's a great question. Dr. Page?
We'll take the second question first about what's a safe distance. In most cases, a safe distance would be 6 feet. Some people say 10, but generally the standard agreement among public health experts is 6 feet for if you're going to be there for 15 minutes. If you're passing by someone, walking by someone, transient contact, that isn't considered to be high risk. Of course, if someone's coughing or sneezing, then, you know, it doesn't take 15 minutes to be around them. If they're sneezing and coughing, you're exposed. And that's why it's so important for people who are sick to stay home. If you're sneezing and coughing, then in addition to having a mask on, you shouldn't be out. You should, stay away from other folks. As far as folks obeying social distancing guidelines, I mean, that's a challenge for our entire country, whether it's social distancing or any other rule or law or regulation. Some people will follow them and some people won't. Mm-hmm. This is really a question of our peer pressure, our community pressure, what's normal to us, and how much do each of us care as individuals in protecting ourselves and protecting others around us. Some people care less about that. Most of us care more about that. And I think the majority of folks in our community will do the right thing, will accept this new normal of social distancing because they want to protect themselves and because they also want to take care of their community and not expose their neighbors. And with those outliers, we'll just have to manage those on an individual basis. We're going to have outliers no matter what the law is, and it's unfortunate when people put others at risk.
That actually leads to a question that we got on our St. Louis on the Air Facebook page. And again, Tom, thank you for those questions. But Betsy writes on that page, what are the punishments if people violate the regulations? Do you have a sense of how this could go down if somebody is just utterly flouting these rules?
Well, someone is COVID-19 positive and moving around in the community and exposing others recklessly. There's certainly penalties for that, and they can be detained. As far as people violating social distancing, we'll look at that on a case-by-case basis, whether they're upsetting people or doing this, seeking out confrontation or anything like that. We don't want to get in the business of sending police to enforce social distancing. We don't think that's going to be necessary very often. Only extraordinary cases. I think the punishment for not following social distancing guidelines, for the most part, in most cases, will be a lack of acceptance in our community by our peers. I think if there's a business that doesn't follow the established rules and guidelines, then I think word will travel pretty quickly. And people will know that, and they won't see as much traffic. I think that if there's people out in the community that aren't following the guidelines, and I think they will be, I hope people will just back away and walk away from them. I don't I hope that we don't lead to confrontation over the subset of folks that don't want to do what's best for them or don't want to do what we should all be doing to protect our neighbors.
Okay. So hope to see some peer pressure kick in here and compel people to do the right thing. Let's go back to the phones. Marcia is calling from Richmond Heights. Marcia, hi. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi. Thanks for letting me talk to Dr. Page.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. What's your question?
Dr. Page, I'm a wellness facility owner, and there's several of us in the community that own facilities that are not gyms per se. We don't have members that just come in when they want. We don't have locker rooms. We have a lot of control over who comes in our facility. We're one-on-one training only. And of course, we were not included in this most recent 25% opening. And I guess our concern is that we're being lumped together of these large facilities.
Marcia's phone seems to be having some trouble here, but it sounds like she's saying a small facility like hers that does have a lot of control on maybe these one-on-one sessions are being lumped together with larger gyms that clearly have more of an issue to deal with here. Thoughts on how she might be treated going forward?
Well, I think for specific businesses or specific subsets of an industry group, I would turn to our health department for guidance. But mainly what we're looking at are places that are high risk for COVID transmission, sharing equipment like that at a fast pace is where the risk is. And if she's in a facility where the equipment isn't shared, then I think she makes an argument to be viewed differently. But regardless, I think we'll have a path forward, hopefully a plan involving gyms by the end of the week or early next week that we can give some guidance on what that might look like, where the exceptions might be. I expect that we'll be meeting with some gym owners later this week, or at least the health department staff will, to get their input, because we do want to find a path forward for them. But we also have to recognize that there is a risk of COVID-19 transmission in that setting. And that's why here in St. Louis County and across the country, they're not always in the first wave of reopening.
I know we've got a lot of people wondering about gyms that are calling in here today. And so you're saying there are going to be some further details available on how you plan to handle those. You think that'll be by the end of this week?
Oh, sure. I mean, we understand that how important exercise is to mental health and physical health. And we want to find a path forward. We just want to do this in a way that's responsible and protect the health of our employees in gyms and the customers visiting them. And we think there's a path, but we also have to follow our public health department recommendations and make sure that we do this right. And we'll have some guidance here on that pretty soon.
Okay. We've got time for, I hope, just one more call here. And that is Bill calling from St. Louis. Bill, hi, you're on St. Louis on the Air.
Yes, thank you. And a great show as always. And I'll try to be articulate with my question and not ramble. I was wondering if there's any modeling that's been done on what the partial opening, the results of it will be. For example, if we closed everything for 2 weeks or a year, we would reduce to zero, hopefully. If we opened everything, we'd probably spike. So whether there's been any modeling of, so opening partially will probably cause a slowing of the decrease. And I was wondering if there's been any modeling of the number of increased cases.
Bill, that's a great question. Dr. Page, has there been any modeling in a county or a regional way of how these various closures and reopenings could affect things?
Well, there are lots of models, and models are useful in predictions, but they're never exactly accurate. But they do provide some guidance. Really, what the real wild card in the modeling is how much will social distancing be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And the acceptance of social distancing really drives the spread of COVID-19 in our community. How many spontaneous large parties do we have with what we would call a super spreader, one person who was infected who touched a lot of or contacted a lot of people. So really, all the modeling depends on the acceptance of social distancing. And this is, of course, a new virus. We don't have a lot of data on it. But that really is the wild card. We believe if social distancing is widely accepted, then we could continue to gradually open up other sectors of our community. And we could move forward with, again, we will have more cases of COVID-19 as we do more testing, as people move about more. But as long as we can test them, find them, get them to isolation, and chase down their contacts and give those contacts advice, then we think that's a path forward.
Okay. Well, it sounds like the takeaway I have, at least from this conversation today, is that you're saying this all rests on us, that we've got to do our part here and follow the best practices and not go around having giant backyard parties or there's going to be a little bit of a problem. Is that a fair summary?
Well, absolutely. I mean, as government, we give guidance. And when we're in a tragic situation like we're in a couple of months ago, unprecedented, we had to issue stay-at-home orders and severe restrictions on movement. But, you know, moving forward, we are going to depend on our residents to do the right thing. Wash your hands, stay at home if you're sick, stay 6 feet away from others, wear a mask when you're out in public. And if everybody pulls their weight, then there's a path forward for all of us.
Well, I hope you are right about that. So, Dr. Sam Page, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Dr. Page, again, is the St. Louis County Executive. St. Louis County is reopened. That doesn't mean you should go hog wild. That's the word from Dr. Page. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. That's 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.